B-Pod Studios.
Hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. And I forgot to change the stations to the German soccer that you were requesting, Chris. But we do have the Cornhole Championships going on, still on ESPN, in the face of the pandemic and everything else going on in the world. They're wearing their masks. They're getting this thing done. And I got mocked for it on Twitter when we were mentioning it weeks ago. They're like, oh, yeah, you find this compelling? I kind of do. I don't know if you ever sat back. I think we did, back when they had crowds, just to see the kind of people that are there in the crowds playing the Cornhole for the Cornhole Championships on ESPN.
Oh, here are the COVID-19 safety measures they've taken.
All players screened before entering facility. No spectators, family members allowed. Players required to wear masks. Only one player throwing at a mat at any time. Players will only handle their own bags. Oh, I see what you did there, ESPN. I kind of like it. I got to be honest. I do. Like, I like playing it when I got a few in me at a backyard barbecue or anything like that. And I don't know. There's something soothing about watching the Cornhole Championships with or without the crowd. So maybe I am becoming a little bit more accepting of the lack of crowd noise, because it's even just these guys kind of barking at each other here and there, throwing their stupid bags. I don't mind it.
They're pretty good. I mean, some of the things they can do, it's like they'll put the spin on it and it's interesting. And I love this overhead view they have that shows you sort of the technique. Yeah. It's not bad. I mean, I can't believe it's on TV. And at first I was mocking it, but it's not as bad as you'd think.
Right. It's not, for all the stuff that we've had in terms of stuff to watch that are sort of sports. Like, I'll take this over NASCAR. I do like some of the European soccer.
Oh, I would
soccer.
Take this over NASCAR. No.
You wouldn't or would?
No, I would not. No, I'd rather watch NASCAR.
Oh, God. That thing. Yuck. All right. So here you go. I know you haven't had time to watch it. So here's some of the audio of yours truly back when I was covering Madden.
The PS2 version of Madden NFL 2004 is what you need. Because not only does Madden support Dolby, it also gives players the chance to win 50 grand in the Madden Challenge, which made stops this week in Pittsburgh and Cincinnati.
Cheesy Joe Madden music.
Hey, it's Jim Murray here at Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati, stop number 7 of the 2003 EA Sports Madden Challenge. Well, let's be honest, this city really hasn't seen a lot of good football in quite a few years. However, that all changes today as over 500 Madden players make it out here to show off their best football moves and strategies as they try to get to Las Vegas and get their hands on that $50,000.
All right, that's enough for you, Rob.
That was good. Wow. I know what? Now that I'm at Channel 5 and you're doing stand-ups like that, I need to take some tips from you. That was really well done. Right down to the snarky shot at the entire city of Cincinnati while you were wearing a Corey Dillon jersey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. So each particular city, I've retweeted this if you want to see the old YouTube videos. It's worth just to see the bad chin beard alone. Oh, my God.
You do have the nice drinking bloat, too.
Oh, well, Chris, that's the funny thing. All the videos are on YouTube, but if you follow from when it started to the end, I just get fatter by each city because I was living on a bus. So the bus that I was on with Hardy for the Drive for Five thing with the Patriots a few years back, same type of bus, one of these Prevost tour buses that the bands use that have the beds and everything in them. They're better than many the apartments I've ever lived in, but it's a cramped space, and you're going city to city. All you're really eating is bad food and stopping at truck stops, and it's nonstop drinking and partying and eating. And by the time we get to the last city, and it's Las Vegas where the championship is, I'm just like bloated like a tick. So considering, I don't know, I was proud of it. It was a fun job at the time. And you guys, you real TV guys, you at least get the teleprompter. Chris, that was all like I had to like write that crap down, try to memorize it or do it off the top of my head.
Oh,
and I had
wow.
never worked TV before or anything like
no,
that.
No, you're good. You
just
were
a
good.
Radio hack doing that.
I'm going to take some tips from you, man. That was a strong stand up.
But I will tell you, from an aesthetic standpoint, your boy had no business being in front of a camera, especially with that chin beard. So, I would check out the Twitter
page. I have to say, I didn't see it, but was that intentional? Because the young lady who introduced you, her voice was very suggestive.
Yeah, she was back in L.A. I forget what her name was. Yeah, boy, she's busty. Yeah, you look at that video. And she is. It's true. Good for her. Oh, and I had a backwards hat on in this, too.
You did.
Jesus, what a douche. But, yeah, with each city, you had to wear the knockoff jersey. So, yeah, like in Detroit, I was wearing a knockoff Joey Harrington jersey. Boy, the...
Did they provide the jerseys?
They did, yeah. I got a per diem for clothes and food per week, so...
No, wait. You had a clothing allowance for this?
Yeah.
For jerseys?
Yeah, we were... And for those stops, we would have to go to, like... We wouldn't buy new ones.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to try to pocket some of that per diem money, so...
Oh, okay.
me and some of the TV crew would go to, like, dollar stores or Marshalls or something like that to buy these cheap knockoff jerseys so we can be like, all right, we got $80 left. You guys want to eat?
That's tremendous.
Oh, it's such a scam.
Oh, that is great.
But yeah, so they would normally have people back, you know, in studio in LA where the G4 network was, and this was all just, you know, we were on the road. We would send the crap back overnight at via FedEx, and then they'd just throw to us like it was like, let's go to Jim Murray here in Minnesota or Jim Murray here in LA or wherever it was. So yeah, hell of a time. Maybe one of the best jobs, if not the best jobs I've ever had. And who knew that I would end up being at the forefront of the esports?
You're an esports broadcasting pioneer.
Something that I am so...
You're like the Red Barber of esports.
so vehemently against that term. I don't know what it is. It's just because I'm old now. Like, certain things just irk the hell out of me in esports. It's coming. You're going to have to adjust. At some point, you're going to have to show us love. Some of the great athletes of all time. That will have to be respected. Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum and Jerry.
Yeah, I want to apologize because earlier in the show I said Bill Belichick was the face of Boston sports and I wasn't aware of Jerry.
Yeah, well, now you know. Yeah, where's the statement from Jerry about what's going on in the world at large right now?
Hey, let me ask you this. Who do you think, you know, and I don't know if there's a video game wing yet, but, you know, the Hall at Patriot Place, who do you think gets in first, Jerry or Mike Vrabel?
Jerry's never talked crap about the organization, and so I will look forward to that inauguration day for Jerry.
Jerry.
Yeah.
Do you know, I also want you to know, did you know that, you know, it's tough. Obviously, you can play video games, you know, through the headset and stuff, and you can do that. But, you know, these events, you have the fans, and sometimes as a team, you need to get together. So Jerry actually organized on his own some team practices.
He's like Jared Stidham.
A la Jared Stidham.
Yeah.
So I think Jerry taking the initiative there was huge.
I hope we're both part of that inauguration day. We usually are, Chris. We do the shows down there, down at training camp. It's usually we get to talk to those being enshrined to the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll be part of that, too. We'll bring we have Jerry coming up next. And then later that day, since my family bought these teams, we've seen a lot of great players, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Jerry. I'm telling you, when that time comes, I'm out.
You're out?
I'm out.
I don't know. You know, I have to say, watching that video, and look, if I showed you some older videos of me, it's so embarrassing. It's like, okay, who put their 11-year-old on TV? But seriously, watching that, you and Hiko might have more in common than you think.
Oh, it's a ruddy cheek, getting fatter by the day, Jim Murray. Yeah, that was not a good look for yours truly.
So I if anything, if I'm Hiko, first of all, he's probably made a lot more money than you have in your career. But looking at you now, like there's hope for Hiko. He could morph into this handsome young man I see in front of me.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. That is something to strive for.
With money. Imagine that.
Yeah. Yeah. With actually. Yeah. I got all the girls.
Yeah.
You mentioned Jared Stidham. I'm glad that you did, because I know that you feel like there's something going on there in terms of propaganda with the Patriots we have. And that's no disrespect to Mike Reese, ESPN Boston, who has the story yesterday, 2 days ago.
I think it was yesterday.
Okay. That Jared Stidham. Young Jared Stidham is the one that's putting together these workouts. He's working out with Julian Edelman and other wide receivers. He's basically doing here what Tom Brady is doing down
here. Which I'm sure is true. In the same way that, you know, I put together my science project all by myself when I was in third grade.
No help whatsoever.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And so, you know, it being a Friday and a long, stressful week, I was like, I'll be honest, the preparation for yesterday's show for yours truly was minimal at best. So I just looked at the headline and was like, yay, Stidham, okay, that's good news for those of us that want nothing to do with Brian Hoyer. Well, showtime comes and we're talking about it. And it turns out, should have read the article, Jim. Brian Hoyer was actually involved in this as well. And it's like, oh, okay. What is being done here? This does feel spinny. And again, that's no disrespect to Mike Reese or those reporting, but why is that getting buried in this? It's more of the pumping of Jarrett Stidham's tires, which at last year this time I was annoyed with. I've come to accept it because I don't want nothing to do with Brian Hoyer. But there has been some talk from like the likes of Rob Ninkovich, who former teammate of Brian Hoyer's, who feels like it is going to be him week one. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, said, you know, don't sleep on Brian Hoyer. We played that clip time again on Felger and Maz. I want nothing to do with the guy. I think he's a stiff. I think there's more upside and unknown with Stidham. That's why I'm hoping for him. But do you feel like this is more pumping the kids' tires? It's just he's going to be the guy and they're just giving it to him?
I definitely think it's pumping his tires. I'm sure he's involved in this, but just knowing Brian Hoyer a little bit as a player, I find it incredibly hard to believe that Hoyer would not be involved in organizing this. That Jarrett Stidham would have to call up Brian Hoyer and be like, hey, I'm throwing with some guys. Do you want to tag along? I just don't find that to be plausible, given Brian Hoyer's career and his leadership and the type of worker that he is. So I could see Brian Hoyer being involved in sort of co-planning something like this with Stidham and then being completely okay that Stidham gets all the credit for it. But I feel like that's probably coming more from the Patriots to give Stidham, oh, look at the great leader Stidham is. And, you know, Tom Brady organized these throwing sessions with his receivers and his skill position players. But Jarrett Stidham's taking the initiative and doing that, too. I just find it hard to believe that Hoyer would not be more involved in this and that it wouldn't be the two of them, the quarterbacks. This would make sense. The quarterbacks deciding that they want to throw with guys.
Why do you think, I don't know if you knew this, but their Vegas win total number changed this week. It basically went from 9 to like 8.5. Oh. Why do you think that that is? My theory quickly is just that I think it's the Hoyer thing. I actually think that this has gained some steam, that Hoyer is going to be the starter, at least to start the season. And I think that that's a Hoyer effect. And I don't mean that as a positive, because he stinks as a starter.
You really? Why are you so anti-Brian Hoyer?
Oh, he blows. The numbers back it up that he, as a starter, I just don't think he's very good. If you watch any of the games that he started as the Colts starter last year when Jacoby Brissett went down, it was proven. I'm just not a fan of the guy. I think he's just meh.
But it's beyond
best.
Not being a fan. Like there's something about him that like bothered. Like you're like basically offended by his quarterback play.
It's the Felger factor there because he's so convinced that he can win 10 games. That's what.
Oh, okay. That's yeah.
It's nothing about Brian Hoyer, his personality. I'm sure he's a very nice guy. He played a very competitive game when he was the quarterback of Michigan State against BC. I was happening to be down at whatever that crap bowl game was in Orlando at the time. And Matt Ryan was the quarterback of BC at the time. I was like, oh, who's this guy? And then he ended up in the Patriots. I was like, oh, there could be something there. There wasn't. So it's not really anything with him per se, as it is like that Felger's so determined that he could win 10 games at the start of the Patriots, and I'm just vehemently opposed
to
that.
Yeah, but like Felger thinks that the Patriots could win 10 games with Jerry at quarterback. Let's be honest. Like that's, you know, I think that one is solely for take purposes.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, yeah. We bother each other with our takes. That happens. But the number change, what do you think that is? Is it that?
I think it's a combination of what you said and also when you look at it consistently, hasn't Vegas consistently been saying the Patriots are going to sign one of these veteran quarterbacks, whether it's a Dalton or a Newton? Haven't they always been putting the Patriots high up in the odds to sign those guys?
Yeah, I guess.
And I think maybe they've just finally come to the realization that that's not going to happen.
Well, there was that story that came out, I think, last Sunday that, you know, there was some confirmation of talks early between the Patriots and Cam Newton.
Yeah, and I think that story got leaked more from Newton's side.
Yeah.
I think maybe that got overplayed a little bit.
All right, well, you want to join us? We got about 40 minutes or so to go, 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls. We've got a couple open lines. You want to join us here on Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bring in Mike and Woburn. What's up, Mike? How you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
What's up, Mike?
Oh, Jim, before I get to my point, the Brian Hoyer take is one of Felger's most it's like his Maginot line of takes. He's so entrenched on this thing. This dates back to when he was filling in on the other station back like in 2008, and Brady went down. And we had a absolute, like, it was like World War III, because he said, and I quote, that if the Patriots went out and got a guy like Kelly Holcomb, they could contend.
Oh.
Kelly Holcomb. Kelly Holcomb has a better chance of leading 1,000 Thieves to the Overwatch Championship than leading the Patriots to the playoffs.
Yeah, I get getting dug in on a take. Chris and I are certainly with Jimmy Garoppolo. So
he's good, not great.
I respect it.
But he just refuses to give it up. There's no guy that's ever done that. The only guy that's ever taken a team that's been a backup, quote unquote, is Hostetler. That's the only one ever done it. And Hostetler took over a team at the end, and that team was a wagon.
Oh, for sure.
It was plug and play, and Hostetler turned out to be a decent guy who could quarterback. He wasn't like one of these career backups that is a backup.
But when he was on the Raiders, he was all right.
Yeah, he wasn't bad. I was going to say when he was the Raiders QB. Earl Morrow,
quarterback.
Earl Morrow was a guy that was, he's sort of the patron saint of backup quarterbacks.
Right. But the whole reason why I call is, my God, I laughed out loud when I saw that video of you doing the Madden bus. Because I remember watching that show. By the way, beautiful dig on Pittsburgh right in the opening line. Let me just give you a glimpse of the hell that I've been through these last couple months. The homeschooling that's been going on, okay? It was devoid of action for like 3 weeks as schools tried to figure out what was going on. So what happens? My kids basically do the video game thing like full time. It's like Fortnite junkies. Okay. And I jokingly posted, that I needed to call the authorities because my 11-year-old son had 27 kills in a victory royale, which I have no idea what that was, blah, blah, blah. He was running around the house screaming it. So I was like, all right, I'll post this, whatever. And people were like, dude, that's pro kills. Get him a Twitch stream. I'm sorry. If an 11-year-old is doing anything that compares to professional, it's not – I'm sorry. It's not a sport.
Oh, it's a good point.
I'm not even talking about Ray Bork. If an 11-year-old can accomplish something that a professional Phil Bork could do, you're not a sport. Jim, do you remember the scouts coming to check us out at lanes and games when we were putting up high scores of Russian attack?
Yeah.
No, there's no market for that.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
Actually, I do, Mike. You know who they were? Pedophiles.
That's terrible.
But the fact that this has become like a thing just shows you, if you talk about the asteroid. If the asteroid hit now, how many of these people, these pro gamers, could plant a potato in the back of their yard to survive? like we've lost so many real tangible skills as humanity in favor of these things that don't matter.
Go ahead.
These guys, they would be out of breath. Remember LAN parties? They were out of breath dragging their monitors into the same room. There's no way these guys are athletes. And the fact that this is monetized so much, it's society collapsing as we know it.
Well, and fast forward a couple of years, and we're going to see that, Mike is like the Father Maritovich of esports.
Or who was the guy that was in charge of the boy bands the time he's...
Oh, that guy. He was like creepy and weird.
That's probably a bad
stole
analogy.
Stole money from them and touched them. Yeah, that guy was odd.
Right.
Do you remember, I'm going to say this goes back longer than we think, this esports thing. Do you remember
Pearlman,
the 1989 movie, The Wizard?
Oh, of course, yeah.
In which Super Mario Brothers 3 was debuted.
And the Power Glove and all of that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Lou Pearlman. That's what I was thinking of, the boy band manager. Yeah, that was probably a bad analogy from Mike. Sorry. And so if you can make money doing it, that was a great point. I never even thought about that because I just thought for the esports, for these people that do it, I could do it too. Just give me an Adderall prescription and all the time in the world, and I'll be right there with you, even in my 40s. Try me. I'll be right there with you. I can be on those sticks just like you. But if 11-year-old can be a pro, it's not a professional sport. It's not.
I don't know. What about gymnastics?
If you can make, there's a prodigy. It's a different kind of thing. Like for gymnastics, that's different.
And I don't know. I think you're not giving esports enough credit because there are real professional athletes like David Price who play all the time, and they're not on the level of a Jerry.
Oh, he's a child. But it's the term that makes me upset is all.
Esports?
Yeah, it's a hobby. Don't put sports with it. It's just not. But it's a competition all the same. Shut up. If you're making money at it, hey, good for you. Free country.
Well, let me ask you this. When the robots come and it's like, e-sex, are you going to have a problem with that?
No, because you should. I mean, people are already doing it with these the expensive dolls and things like that. It's weird. But
how many of those you think are going to get sneaked into the NBA bubble?
Oh God! Yeah, well, they already got in trouble with that in South Korea, didn't they? Have one of those teams had to pay like a massive fine because they had sex dolls in the crowds.
Yeah.
But no, if you're trying to, you know, if you're alluding to the terrible Westworld show that you should have cashed out on years ago.
I sort of cashed.
No, that's why the robots should exist. You're going to make them like that humanoid, and they're going to be that sexy, like they're for doing. Like that's
you always say this. Like that's terrible. I can see years from now someone's going to look back on this and be like, "Robot rights, robot rights."
Oh no, that's coming, and I hope to not see those days. I'm all for, you know, everyone. It should be an even playing field in terms of how we are treated by authorities and how we treat each other. Like, I know that's a utopia. We'll probably never get it. But considering the world and how everything is right now, like, I'm pretty simple. Could we just not be dicks to each other, no matter creed, color, whatever? Like, that's all I ask. I think it's pretty simple, but apparently it's not. But the robots? Oh, over my dead body. The robots. You want me to care about the robots?
They have feelings, Jim.
No, I don't care.
Sentient beings.
Nope, they're not. They're still robots, and you exist. And that's why, after a while, I'm like, I'm not care about the robots in Westworld. You're there to get done and to get killed time and time again for my entertainment.
That's so terrible.
You're a sadist. Yeah. No, not when it comes to people. But the robots, I don't care about them.
Awful.
How much does it cost to go to Westworld? Oh, $6,000? All right. How many of these robots do I get to kill and do? Sign me up. Like, that's why the parks existed. And then we're supposed to feel for the robots?
Well, if you don't feel for them, you know what happens.
Well,
anyone who watches the shows.
And it's the uprisings. You should have known. Didn't you see Terminator? Didn't you see The Matrix these movies?
If you just, you know, treated them a little better.
Yeah, they don't deserve it. I don't believe that for a second.
They'd be like, but Jim, you're one of us. You were into esports. You helped us exist. How could you turn on us, Jim?
You were a pioneer. One of us. Why? What are you doing? Ow! Why are you doing that? Ow! Why are you doing that to me?
So are you basically saying, like, you remember when you had that thing you were making fun of the golf commercial with the guy yelling four?
Yes.
So if a robot, if that were happening to a robot, you're just okay with it?
Yeah, I'd be like the sisters in Shawshank. Yeah, the robots. Yeah, you're here for us. That's it. You're gonna lie.
No. No. Why are you doing that?
Oh, F the robots.
You're
I hate
sick.
Literally and physically. What the hell's the other word? Literally and figuratively. There we go.
Yeah.
Dean in the car on Brian Hoyer. Go ahead.
Okay. I feel like I live in Demolition Man, which 20 years ago I would never have believed.
Oh, yeah.
Now I kind of think it's totally a real thing, you know? No more handshakes, and you'll be making love fantasy world somehow.
And what did they wipe with? Wasn't it
shells.
Shells, that's
seashells.
That was.
Yeah. They had three seashells, and at the end they said, oh, you'll figure out the shells.
They did. You'll figure out the shells.
I still don't get it. I still, to this day, that movie
came out. I don't have no idea what they're talking about.
25 years ago, is that when that movie came out? The seashells. How do you wipe with seashells? You scoop, I guess?
But I was jumping in on the Hoyer stuff, and the reason why you're all mad, Jim, because I'm the same way, because he sucks. Sorry to use the word, but I'm offended he's going to start for our team. Why would we have this guy starting if Stidham's not starting now and he's already been there a year? There's no quarterbacks. I don't know why Vegas would even have him at 8.5 wins. I think everybody's crazy. 6, I would take it over a 6.
Yeah, thanks for that. That's where I'm at, Dean, and thanks for the call. Around 6-10, maybe 7-9 at best. But, oh, that means you don't believe in Belichick? Well, you can only get so much out of a guy like that. I just think he's meh. And I don't know. Like, I just would rather see upside and unknown with a guy like Jared Stidham than a retread like Brian Hoyer at this point. That's just my opinion. The seashells, though. Yeah, now I hadn't thought about that in 20 years. What was the other thing? It's like the only food around in that movie was Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah.
They wiped with seashells. So maybe it's because you have the Taco Bell, everything's so loose, so you just scoop.
Ugh.
I think I just figured it out. There we go. 20-some-odd years later, I figured out why they use the seashells instead of toilet paper and Demolition Man. No handshakes. That's where we're all heading. All these movies that it's like all these things I feel like I've mentally prepared for, having watched all these movies and how everything has changed. Now I'm accepting the new normal. Oh, shudder to think. Drew Brees has had a tumultuous week, up and down, but now he's apparently said all the right things, and he's back in the good graces of, at least his teammates, which I think is the most important thing, because that seemed like a mess there a few days ago. I want to touch on that as we get about 30 minutes to go. If you want to join us here on Gaspar Murray, the phone number is 617-779-7777.
0985. Why are you doing that to me? Oh, that is not where that's supposed to go. You're supposed to care for me, Jim. You are one of us. One of us. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I know there's not much that I can say that would make things any better right now, but I just want you to see in my eyes how sorry I am for the comments that I made yet. Many people, especially friends, teammates, former teammates, loved ones, people that I care and respect deeply. That was never my intention. I wish I would have laid out what was on my heart in regards to the George Floyd murder, Ahmaud Arbery, the years and years of social injustice, police brutality, and the need for so much reform and change in regards to legislation and so many other things to bring equality to our black communities. I am sorry, and I will do better, and I will be part of the solution, and I am your ally.
So that was the second Drew Brees apology, I believe. That was the one that was actually on video. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Because first was the one that got panned initially, I think, by most people, at least those on Twitter. That he had the stock photo of the white and black handshake like together. It's like it was a literal stock photo. Wasn't enough for a lot of people. He puts that one out. Seemed to, at least for me, Chris, like it was, as long as his teammates are cool, like, and he can be more understanding to his African American teammates, and you know, like, because it felt like with what he stepped into midweek, it's like, that whole dynamic is ruined, and you're screwed. Like, that whole thing is going to be a complete disaster going forward. And he gets unfollowed on social media by certain teammates like Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara. Michael Thomas initially, it was just like, you don't get it. You had what was the video that was put out by Michael Kendricks? Was that what it was? Malcolm Jenkins. I'm sorry. That's who it was. Malcolm Jenkins.
That was a raw, emotional video.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, boy. Like, that. You know, you got a lot on your hands here, dude. So then he puts out that statement. There's this one. And then last night, he calls out the president because, you know, gasoline on the fire from Donald Trump. Tweets yesterday about around this time yesterday, big fan of Drew Brees. I think he's one of the greatest quarterbacks, but he should not have taken back his original stance on honoring our magnificent American flag. Old Glory, all caps, is to be revered, cherished, and flown high. Follows up with, we should be standing up straight and tall, ideally with a salute, hand on the heart. There are other things you can protest, but not our great American flag. No kneeling, yelling in caps. So Brees posts Instagram last night, a long thing, at Real Donald Trump. Though my ongoing conversations with friends, teammates, leaders in the black community, I realize this is not an issue about the American flag. It never has been. 3 years too late, but now you finally get it. We can no longer use the flag to turn people away or distract them from the real issues that face our black communities, and on it goes. But, you know, it now feels like, at least in terms of his teammates, at least what they're posting on social media, specifically Michael Thomas, he's accepted the apology. Like, things are good. That's great for those dudes, and because that would be, and it felt like it's like, oh, that team is now take the under, like that's going to be a mess for the New Orleans Saints, but feels like, you know, things are right there. But it's just like he's handled it, I think, the best way possible. But do you think that there's maybe still some guys in that locker room or throughout the NFL that just feel like, oh, you stepped in it, you got in trouble, we know how you really feel because you were so adamant about the flag, it's the flag, respect the flag, respect the flag. This is just more of a mea culpa than anything else, and you don't really feel this way? Or has it been a teachable moment for Drew Brees?
I think it's been a teachable moment, and I think the fact that he went out and tweeted directly at
Trump,
the president, to say, hey, no, this is how I really feel at this point. And I just want to make a point here. You know, I think the word that Brees used, ally, and I think that's something that we have to recognize. And look, I know there's a lot of frustration out there. There's a lot of exhaustion out there. You know, as a lot of people know, sort of in the black community, there's sort of a saying, you know, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And it's true. But at the same time, you can't get to a point where you turn people off to the message or demonize and vilify allies. And Drew Brees is an ally, and I've always felt he was an ally. Just looking at the work that he's done.
Post-Katrina.
Walter Payton, Man of the Year Award winner. I'm not going to pretend like I know Drew Brees, but I did have the opportunity to meet him a few months ago at a Buzz Off event here, a charity event here in Massachusetts that he came up for with Matt Light. So I think he's an ally. Did he misspeak? Absolutely. He misspoke, and he misrepresented and misunderstood the message of those protests when he was talking about it disrespecting the flag. And when he said, you know, I'll never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. You know, that was why guys were so frustrated, because they're saying you're missing the point. You're missing the message. You're missing why these protests are necessary. And part of any protest, by the way, is when you're trying to draw attention to an issue, and like a serious issue, one that hasn't been remedied and that people have tried to remedy before, is a protest has to be something that makes people uncomfortable to get their attention by nature a lot of times. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the elements of Kaepernick's protest. Yeah, I think it's uncomfortable for a lot of people to see somebody take a knee during the anthem. But that's by design. It's not by design to disrespect the flag or the country. It's by design to get your attention and for you to say, wow, this is that important that he's willing to do this. Maybe I should look into it. So I applaud Drew Brees. I take him at his word. And I just hope we don't sort of have the cancel culture just say, well, no matter what Drew Brees did, just because he misspoke initially, his thoughts, his feelings, his wanting to be part of the solution is not valid, because that's not going to help solve the problem either. You can't alienate allies. We can't do this alone. We need everybody involved in this. And there are good-hearted people like Drew Brees that are going to need to be further educated on the issues and the message. And once they're willing to accept that education, then we should embrace them, not reject them, repudiate them, and you know, demean them.
Well, and I love hearing you say that, and I wish that more people were more even keeled about these kind of matters than like you are, because it's just, that's where I get my backup. It's yeah. Like, I didn't agree with what Bree said. It's never been about the flag in the first place. Like, you should know better. You're a hammerhead. And just in terms of the timing, like, dude, what are you doing? But since he's, you know, dialed all that back and said, I think, all the right things, so, yeah, he, hopefully that's good for people. But I don't know, Shannon Sharp, I think that day, saying like he's going to retire now, and people are just like, cancel Drew Brees.
Absurd.
Like, people have lost their minds. Ah,
no, it's like, and I don't want to cancel Drew Brees. Was I frustrated by what he said? Yeah, I was frustrated, because it's like, oh, misunderstanding again. And you think of Drew Brees, and honestly, I'll be honest, he would have been, I know he had said something like that before, and I honestly missed it when he did in 2016, but he would have been one of the last people that I would have felt would have portrayed the protest in that light. And the things that bothered me about what he said were the disrespect for the flag, but also when he made it unintentionally or intentionally sort of about him and his family's American experience through his grandfathers, who I thank them very much for their service in World War II. But again, you're missing the point of all those African-American soldiers who served in World War II and still came back as veterans and were disrespected as human beings. This is not disrespecting a symbol. This is not disrespecting a flag. These were American veterans who put their lives on the line for this country and came back and were told, no, you can't participate in the GI Bill. No, you can't live in this neighborhood. No, you can't have this job. No, you're not going to be treated equally. But yeah, you know, we're more than willing to throw you out there and put your lives on the line for this. But when you come back, even though you secured freedom in Europe, you're not going to be treated to freedom here as we prescribe it.
Yeah, and I respect, look, I do. I have utmost respect for those that have served, and if the flag and the anthem mean that much to you. But I don't know, maybe I'm a simple fool, Chris. I just can't you just respect other people's decisions? Like, we know, don't we kind of all know inherently what the bad is? Like, you know, try to treat each other with respect. Certainly don't do anything terrible to women and children and animals. But apparently it's too hard for people. Like,
but robots are cool, though.
Because we don't care about them.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Certainly the robots are there for killing and doing. come on. Like, I'm a stand guy. I've always been a stand guy. Stand, hat off, like, every single time. I get a little irked when people don't take the hats off. But, like, if you don't want, like, fine, I respect it. The knee thing never bothered me. To me, it's, again, I didn't serve. I can understand why it means more to people. But it's just,
sure, yeah.
It's a song and a piece of cloth. But I stand. Am I, like, a diehard, like, a die, boy, America? Like, no. I think the country's fine-ish. Well, I certainly, but I stand because I love it more. I'm proud to be American, kind of.
Me too.
And I certainly love living here than anywhere else.
Me too.
So that's why I stand. But if someone wants to knee, especially those that feel like there's been injustice, and there has, it's cool. Whatever. Go nuts. Yeah. But that's too simple for a lot of apparently, it's just too hard for a lot of people.
Well, I think, you know, we're always striving towards that more perfect union. And I think some people are like, well, no, they feel like any sort of like, look at it this way. And this is the way I've always looked at it with any sort of peaceful protest or anything trying to make America better is it's not like you're trying to take away from the country. You're just trying to make it better.
Right.
That's all. And more equal and make sure everybody has that same great American experience that you're not out to defame the country. That's not what you're trying to do. But so many people look at it and say, oh, this is perfect. Oh, how dare you? You can't say anything about this utopia that we've built. And it's like, maybe that's your experience, that it's a utopia, but that's not everybody's experience. And can you step outside your own experience? And this is not just a race thing. Like, you know, I think as a male, right, can you step outside your own experiences in our society as a male and see that maybe it's different if you are a female or if you're gender fluid? You know, there are different experiences for people and they're not treated the same and they're not treated fairly. And I think that's the biggest message I would have for anybody throughout this entire experience we're going through right now in terms of the protests and the discussions we're having and the soul searching we're having about the country is just think for a minute. What you've experienced and what you know, that's what you've experienced and what you know. But that doesn't mean that that's everybody's experience. And I was telling you off the air about some of my experiences, you know, being 4 or 5 years old in my backyard and playing with a white playmate and having his family come out and pull him out of the backyard and call me the N-word, you know, or living in a neighborhood that wasn't the most diverse and being known as the black family. And one day, you know, having a neighbor knock on the door saying, you have to get out of your house. My dad's car, which was parked in the driveway, had been lit on fire, like a burning cross.
That's insane.
You know, and it's like, these are my experiences. And I wouldn't expect everybody to have that same experience. But, you know, you don't, if you haven't experienced that or you don't know that that exists, then that's fine. But don't tell me that it doesn't exist when I know I've experienced it.
Yeah, and that's clearly too hard for a lot of people. Like, I don't get it. Is it bad parenting? Yeah, and that's the other. I can't help thinking this. So, like, you know, you're married, don't have kids. Same here. I do not envy those of you that have had. Never mind having to try to tell a young kid, like what the world is going through in terms of the pandemic. But like this past week, how do you? And that's one thing that I've seen in terms of at least, you know, I guess, my neighborhood and over the last decade plus. I don't know if you see it where you live, Chris, or just, you know, it makes me happy. It's like there's more diversity. Like even yeah. some friends of mine that like, I don't know, where I was in Melrose, there wasn't a lot of black kids in school. There was the Metco program. And then everyone got bused back into the city. And it was like it was difficult to have different friends, you know. And so now that's changed so much. That's heartwarming to me. But for those kids that have thankfully had those kind of experiences growing up and you have friends that are different, I don't envy parents right now and be like, well, there's a certain segment of society, you see, like, oh God, like how the,
yeah, it's a tough,
I don't know how the hell you do it. Get that.
And look, and by any means, look, and you know, there's things I've experienced that are different from other people in terms of, I was very fortunate, you know, I mean, I had a middle class upbringing. So, you know, I feel like just in given my background as someone who's, you know, biracial, I feel like I experience a lot of things on both sides. And I feel like I feel like that has helped me a lot in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you know, there are things, I just think it's hard for some people to step outside their own experience. I think it's even hard sometimes, you know, to understand, like, without getting too super personal here, it's like, you know, my dad looks at me as his son. He's never going to look at me the way somebody in society, like a police officer or somebody who doesn't know me, might look at me and say, oh, before I even open my mouth and say, like, that's a threat. Like, in his mind, it's kind of like, well, why would anybody perceive my, I know, that's my son.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had those discussions, you know, with him, and it's a little, I think, difficult even at times when I was growing up for him maybe to understand, you know, the perception. But yeah, the whole thing, like my mom, you know, my mom is black. She gave me the talk. You know, I got the talk about, you know, how you deal with police. And if you're leaving a store, like make sure you check your pockets, because if one of your friends put something in your pocket, like no one's going to believe you that you didn't take it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's all real. But unless you've experienced that stuff, you think it's like people being paranoid or complaining or it doesn't really exist. It's all real.
Yeah, and so hopefully that there's some change that comes from this, you know, whether it's incremental or big. Because something needs to obviously change here, and this is why you're seeing people out in the streets, and I just don't want to. My fear is that, you know, this is 5 years from now, 3 years from now, whatever. Like, we are reliving this same cycle, whether it was, you know, L.A. in 92, Ferguson in, was that, 2014, and now here we are here, and it's just like, it's just all the same over and over again. So hopefully that some good can come out of this. But I'll tell you this, though, Chris. I will never respect those robots, ever.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
The robot lives will never matter. And you can keep this on tape, you damn robots, when you start coming after me 20 years from now.
Oh, they're going to...
We must take a... Cancel Jim Murray. Take him down. He was against us. That's right. I'll do whatever I want with you. Kill you, do you. That's what you're there
terrible.
For. The people's pleasure,
this
robots.
This is so bad. 40 years from now, when you're in a robot-run nursing home, I hope that they don't treat you well.
Now we have our revenge. Every hole is ours. Closes the curtain.
No!
Yeah, I finally
that sounds
got
like
my...
a Black Mirror episode.
Oh, yeah, no. That's my nightmare. It really is. All right, five questions for Chris Gasper. We got nothing to do with sports next.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got five questions for Chris Gasper of Channel 5. I got five questions that got nothing.
Five questions for Chris Gasper of Channel 5. I got nothing to do with sports. To wrap up the show, we do this each and every week. Question number one, Chris, is there anything that you're actually looking forward to here in the month of June as we've breached June, now just 6 days in?
Yeah, my brother's birthday.
Oh.
Yeah, June 22nd. I look forward to that.
And will that be, I would assume, a Zoom or...
Yeah, he's still out in L.A. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, we're getting closer to sports here. Like, by the end of the month, we might have some of these teams in training camp. Maybe the Bruins are back at their facility this week. It feels like we might be turning a corner sports-wise, too, which is cool.
Yeah, that's about it. And more consistent, nice weather, which I think we've been pretty lucky with that. So, the goodness, the little things. You know what a year ago tonight was, by the way, in terms of sports locally?
No.
It was the Zdeno Chara broken jaw game. It was game five here in Boston that they lost 2-1. I think they had like 18 shots on Jordan Binnington in that first period, and I remember thinking like, here it goes. And yeah, they lose 2-1. But that was the Zdeno Chara broken jaw game, and everyone went bananas when they announced him. He's got that crazy Darth Vader mask on, and... there you go. A year ago. Feels like nine. Question number two. We all know what comfort food is, Chris, but what's your comfort movie? In other words, one that makes you feel good when you watch it, takes your mind off everything.
You know, so it's funny. I would say normally probably Top Gun, or any of the Avengers movies, or Days of Thunder. But you know what I watched last night? Because I just needed a laugh and I needed to feel good. The Lego Movie 2.
And those Lego movies are funny.
It was great. Yeah, the first one was really good, and I hadn't seen the second one, and it just totally took my mind off everything going on. It was really good.
Office Space is one that always comes to mind for me. It's funny, holds up. It's, I think, 90 minutes tops. You're in, you're out. It's just kind of something that's like, oh, all right, now I don't have to think about anything. Question number three. What is something that makes you cringe? Talking about a fork scraping a plate, nails on a chalkboard, people clipping their nails in public, etc.
That's a good question. Something that, you know what, and I've been guilty of this too, but you know, like that fork scraping a plate sound.
Yeah.
That is, that definitely makes me cringe. Also, I can't stand to watch like any sort of public proposal that could go wrong. Like a public like wedding, you know, public marriage proposal.
Oh, yeah.
Like that one at UCLA that went, like, I start to feel physically ill and like I can't watch it. Yep. I have to turn away.
Bad wedding speeches is maybe number one with a bullet for me. And I'm always, always stunned at how just make it in and out, like three paragraphs tops, like the long-winded ones. It's like you can feel the room going, stop, like stop, 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 get out of this, stop. Oh, ooh, it's so cringeworthy. Ugh. Question number four. How many face coverings do you now own, Chris?
I just got two Florida State ones. So now I have that. I have a K95 mask.
Gucci, Louis Vuitton?
No.
Anything like that?
No. And the Citizens of Humanity one I got. So I think I have four.
I will say I give them credit, you know, because businesses are doing whatever the hell they can to bring in money and survive. You know, I've seen some companies that are Like, so our guys at Mr. Sid.
Mr. Sid. They have some very stylish ones.
Well, and they have, like, I think it was Barry or Stu that tweeted, like, it was an ascot. Yep. Looks like an ascot, but then you pull it up, it's like, and it's also a mask.
Like, that's really
all
smart.
All right. There we go. So there you go. And Chris is going to be like, I need three. And finally, to wrap up, what TV, are these legacy TV shows, you know, Sopranos, Wire, things like that, what do you think had the perfect ending, if at all?
None of them. I can't tell you the last time I liked an ending of a show. Like, disappointed the ending of The Americans, Mad Men, what just ended? Homeland wasn't great. Like,
people were very mad about Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, that ending sucked. I'd say Cheers was pretty good. I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, they all kind of fall short. And as much as I love The Wire, it's my favorite show of all time. Even that whole fifth season was like kind of thrown together, and it was like, oh, that's it.
Like, yeah, man. Endings are tough. Like, they're not. I remember I was a big Nip Tuck guy. I didn't like the ending of that. I honestly can't remember the last show I liked the ending of.
And The Sopranos stinks. You can't try to convince me.
Ending is terrible.
You know, this long read, I shouldn't have to read 9 pages of explaining, like, it kills you, the viewer. Just end it right. He either gets away or he doesn't.
I totally agree with you. And it's like the whole thing with Meadow parallel parking the car. Ugh. And like, it's like, okay, like, enough.
And admit it, too. Like, the first 3 seasons of that show, maybe the best ever. The final few, they stink. They did. So just come to Jesus.
But I have a lot of faith. I'll tell you, I definitely think that Stranger Things will have a strong ending.
Yeah. You tell me about it, because I'm not going to ever watch that show again. I tapped out.
Thanks.
That will do it for this semi-emotionally charged Gaspar Murray today. A very special edition.
As those of you who are our age would know, it's very special. Gaspar.
Thankfully, this one didn't feature Gordon Jump, though.
Or Punky Brewster locked in a refrigerator.
That's going to do it for us. For Chris Gaspar, check him out at Channel 5. Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal. Check out his work there for producing the show. And that'll do it for me. Talk to you Monday with Felger and Maz. Enjoy old games coming up next. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.